It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we have a wonderful show planned for you again today. We'll go through some headlines in this first segment. And second segment, we will be talking with Dana Chang. She is the senior editor of China News with the Epoch Times regarding the coronavirus. And then thrilled to have in studio with me, and Steve, do they not deserve a prize? And that is Doug Townsend. You are a candidate for a state senate here in Colorado.
Correct.
And it's great to have you here. You brave the weather.
Great being here. Thank you very much.
Yes. And Samantha Cook, you are running for a House seat here in Colorado, right?
I am.
Okay. And you both really do deserve a prize. If you have to get out, get out. But if you don't, I would really recommend staying home today because the roads were kind of dicey. So be sure and allow extra time. And if you can stay home, I would highly recommend that you do that. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, Americans still like freedom. We get ourselves into trouble, Steve, when we say somebody should do something. And that seems to be the entree for PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, to say, hey, I can do something. And what happens many times is it gets out of hand, and they kind of stomp all over our freedoms. And so that's why we do the show, Steve, is so that we can talk about these issues.
Well, Doug and I, since Doug was so early, we had a great opportunity to chit-chat about this very thing. And he really came up with some very interesting and positive things on the lay of the land as it is right now and what maybe we need to really think about.
Did you say positive? You're normally Mr. Curmudgeon. So did you say the word positive, Steve?
It's Friday.
Okay. But ultimately, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people. But it takes a lot to get your brain around these issues and to be able to talk and persuade others to understand these issues. That's why we do this show. And remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And we continue to see the kind of this encroachment of socialism into these key things that make our lives better, and that's transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, communications, health care. And we need to be pulling this back and working towards freedom, free market ideas in these things instead of government controlling them. As always, want to say thank you, Steve. Again, you deserve a prize. You are here behind the boards early every morning, the way the roads are out there. But our great team, there's you, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. Really appreciate working with such great folks. And to each of you listeners out there, you are treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Go out today and strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body.
Well, wait a minute. You just said if you don't have to go out, don't.
Well,
and then now you're telling them to go out.
Okay, maybe that was a little more rhetorical. Okay,
mixed messages here.
So if you
metaphors, AOC proved yesterday that she doesn't have a clue what a metaphor is. So maybe we just make sure we're not in the same boat.
Sorry about that. I appreciate you keeping me honest. That's important. You know, we strive for.
She got all hung up over that. Lift yourself up by your own bootstraps, and
I didn't see that.
There she is making a fool out of herself. You know that's physically impossible. And she's lecturing some group of people that this can't be done. Like, okay.
Yeah, well, you know, do you have the idea that we can do things or we can't do things? Doug Townsend, what do you think? Can we accomplish things or are we just, you know, it's just we can't do it. What do you think?
Absolutely, we can accomplish things. We just have to figure out what those right things are and focus on them and not get distracted by all of the noise. To your comment earlier, as soon as somebody says something should be done about this, all of a sudden, we have this bureaucracy that's more than happy to do something. And we have to sit there occasionally and say, wait a minute, we don't have to do something about that. Let society take care of that. The government does not have to step in and fix every perceived problem. A lot of times it may not even be a problem, but if it is a legitimate problem, society can sit there and fix a lot of those. People are good people.
Yeah, we used to do that in the old days. Charity used to handle that. Samantha Cook, I know that you're kind of a can-do girl. So what? I know that's a setup. What's your comment on this?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that people, when given the right tools and the right resources and we're respecting our freedoms and our abilities, that's when people thrive to their highest abilities. And who knows, maybe we can even lift ourselves up by our shoelaces, as AOC said yesterday. So yeah, sometimes this overreach, we end up creating more problems than we solve. And I think that when people are given the opportunity to thrive, that's when we see our greatest successes, and we need to have those opportunities to do that.
You know, and one of those things, when you say resources, that is, you know, our hard-earned dollars. Mm-hmm. And we continue to see an encroachment of taking that under the guise of, you know, fees and taxes. And I was thinking about it this morning as well. If we are able to keep more of our money, well, first of all, we want to take care of, you know, our family, our homes and all. But Americans historically have been very generous people, and we have been able, Doug Townsend, to address these social problems in the free market, if you will. But they're the radical activists say they don't really, I don't think, trust humankind to actually go out and help their fellow man. And America has always done that, and the people that typically give the most sometimes are people that are you know, may not be at the highest end of the earning spectrum.
That's absolutely right. I mean, when you look historically, when there's a natural disaster around the world or within the United States, Americans are the first to step up. They produce the dollars to sit there and help solve those problems and those crises. That's just the inherent good nature of Americans. We care about people. We care about our fellow citizens. And to your point, when the government takes that money away from us, it makes it harder to do that. And somebody may only be able to afford to give $10 or $15. That may be a significant commitment on their part to do that. But they are happy to do that to help out their fellow Americans. And we need to encourage more of that rather than create an environment where they don't have the ability to do that, or they just simply don't want to do it anymore because they think the government is going to step in and take care of things.
That's a good point. So we're going to jump through a couple more things here that we have this little liturgy, if you will, that we give a little inspiration. And then sometimes if Steve may think it's funny and he may not, we'll see. But Hank Stram, do you remember Hank Stram, Steve?
I remember the name, yes.
He was the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs the last time they won the Super Bowl.
Kansas City Chiefs. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl last Sunday.
Okay. Cool.
I'm a Kansas girl, remember? And Hank Stram, he was an American football coach, best known for his 15-year tenure with the Dallas Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs of the AFL and NFL. He won 3 AFL championships, more than any other coach in that league's history. He then won Super Bowl number 4. Sorry. I can't get my Roman numerals right. Number 4 with the Chiefs, thus earning the 1969 World Championship of Professional Football. He's largely responsible for the introduction of Gatorade to the NFL due to his close association with Ray Graves, coach at the University of Florida, during Gatorade's development and infancy. Stram never had an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, or special teams coach during his career. And this is what he said. He said, "Yesterday is a canceled check. Today is cash on hand, and tomorrow is a promissory note." I thought that was kind of cool. So, okay, are you ready for the funnies?
Yeah, I cheated. I looked ahead. These are good.
Okay. Somebody sent me this thing from Jewish comedians. You know, there were so many of them. Milton Berle, Buddy Hackett, all of them. So there's 3 I have for you today. The first one was, "I just got back from a pleasure trip. I took my mother-in-law to the airport."
Okay.
Number 2, "The doctor gave a man 6 months to live. The man couldn't pay his bill, so the doctor gave him 6 more months." And then I love this one. This is Milton Berle. "You can lead a man to Congress, but you can't make him think." Okay. For our headline today, we're going to talk about, you know, we're highlighting or lowlighting, if you will, a variety of different pieces of legislation that are being proposed down at the State House. This is a good one, though, and this is House Bill 20-1271. It's a repeal of the red flag law that was passed last year, and they're amending the 72-hour hold. And it says, concerning measures for persons who pose an extreme risk and in connection therewith, repealing the extreme risk protection order law, changing the standard for an involuntary 72-hour mental health hold from imminent danger to extreme risk, and defining the term extreme risk as a credible and exigent threat of danger to self or others through actionable threats of violence or death as a result of a current mental health state. Per the bill summary, the bill repeals those laws relating to the ERPO. And under the current law, a person can be held on an involuntary 72-hour mental hold if the person appears to be an imminent danger to others, to himself or herself. And this bill changes that standard and defines extreme risk as credible and threat to danger to themselves and others. This is really, really important. I'm not sure that it's going to make it through. But that law that was passed last year, the red flag law, really stomped all over the U.S. Constitution, because it basically says somebody can be accused without due process. Due process is inherent in the Constitution that says that if you are accused of something, you get to have due process to actually address those particular allegations against you. And this Colorado red flag law, basically, you could be accused of something, and you might not even know it. Law enforcement can come to your home, go through your things, and confiscate your weapons, and you don't even know that you have been accused of something. And as we look at this, if somebody is an extreme risk, or whatever the other term was, extreme risk, now this goes to what is an imminent danger. It seems to me that you would want to get the person out of the house instead of the weapons. And so good for the representatives here. I think that it is Senator John Cook, Republican from Greeley, and Senator Jim Smallwood, Republican from Douglas County, that are bringing this bill forward, and hear to them on that. You know, I think let's talk about that a little bit more, Samantha and Doug, in the third and fourth segment, in case you want to weigh in on that, because I've got us a little bit jammed up on time. Dana Chang with the Epic Times is going to be with us shortly. And we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, the Avs are on a roll. I think they've won 5 of the last 6 games. And so the place to watch all those games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs to watch all the action. Wednesday's Dine and Wing Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. You can try their new roasted wings. My favorite, though, I love the boneless wings. If you don't want to cook, drop by Hooters Restaurants, pick your wings up, take them home, or you can have them delivered right to your front door. More information, go to my website, Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com. All my sponsors are there. As you all know, I buy my airtime, so it's because of them that I'm on the air. So be sure, if you need to do something, I can highly recommend each and every one of them. This is Kim Munson. We're going to go to break. In studio with me is Doug Townsend, and he is a candidate for Colorado Senate. Which one is it?
31.
Okay. And Samantha Cook, you are running for House District.
House District 1.
One. Mm-hmm. Number one, huh? Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That is spelled MONSON.com. And sign up for our newsletter. We'll keep you apprised of all the upcoming guests. And also, if you want to talk to me, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com. On the line with me is Dr. Dana Chang. She is the senior editor of China News for the Epic Times. We're going to talk about the coronavirus. Dr. Dana Chang comes originally from Wuhan in China, where this virus started, and she has lived in New York City for many years. Dana has deep sources in China, Hong Kong, and throughout Asia. Dr. Chang, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
I was looking at the Epic Times, and you seem to be doing some reporting on this that we're not seeing from other news sources. And actually, I was a little concerned about that. So, Dr. Chang, what do we need to know about this coronavirus?
It's very serious. It's transmitting from human to human very fast. And because of this communist regime in China, the government waited 40 days to alert people. So that made the virus widely spread.
I think I saw yesterday that the young doctor that was in, I guess, kind of the whistleblower, 34 years old, contracted coronavirus and just passed on.
Right. At the beginning, when the virus started, the doctors, eight doctors, were circulating the information among their medical school classmates. So it spread further to people in the social media. And you know, in China, all the medias are state-owned. They are tightly controlled. All the social media are state-owned. So they have technology to remove posts they don't like. And there are people like internet police to monitor every post. So if people are speaking about something they don't like to hear, they can arrest you. So eight doctors were arrested on January 1st. That's like 20 days after the virus spotted.
So they were arrested because the Chinese government did not like what they were saying?
Right. They were talking about this SARS-like disease spreading and people should be alert. So the government controlled that kind of information and they arrested eight of them and saying they are spreading rumors. Like Chinese government is still communist regime and people don't realize they are the same communist regime like a Soviet Union. So they control all the information. They put social stability first. So-called social stability is Communist Party's stability.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about this particular lab where this coronavirus apparently began. In reading some of the pieces that you have on the Epoch Times, Dr. Chang, it looks like this is just a new phenomenon. This lab was started in like 2017. Can you expound on that just a bit?
Well, it's widely believed by the expert at the international in the West that this virus is not natural. It's man-made. It's a hybrid between SARS and AIDS. So this kind of a hybrid virus will not happen in nature in a million years. So it's man-made. So what kind of a lab can make this kind of virus? Because it's highly dangerous. It only happened at the P4 lab. China and France cooperated and built a P4 lab. So it's believed that the virus could be leaked from that lab.
Okay, the question, if that's the case, could that have been intentional or do you think it was accidental?
Well, that we need more evidence. But, you know, this kind of hybrid virus is not for the purpose to cure disease. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So what are we going to do about it, Dr. Chang?
Well, we heard that some pharmaceutical companies in America are developing medicine to cure that, and we hope it can really, you know, put it out.
Okay.
And they are testing a drug, and they opened the source so China can use it. Now they are developing more.
Okay. Okay. Another question I have as I was reading some of these pieces in the Epic Times, and I probably should know this. I bet Samantha Cook knows this because she's much younger than I am. But the word netizens, what is a netizen? A Chinese, it says Chinese netizens and expert suspect Wuhan P4 lab is the source of the coronavirus. What is a netizen?
They talk and they develop expertise on the website and talk on the website.
Okay, okay. And are these the ones that are being shut down by the Chinese government?
Yeah, often, yes. Well, all the public, you know, it goes more than that. Now police can stop anyone on the street and check their message on the phone. And if they find some, like, a text message and whatever they say on the phone they don't like, they can arrest you.
You mean regarding the coronavirus or just anything?
Especially coronavirus at this point. But that's the way they handle things. And that's the way they have been ruling people for the past 70 years.
Okay, so what I think one of the things that a big overreaching theme here that I see is that kind of the veil is coming off of the way the Chinese government actually interacts with the people of China. And in that case, as we look at what's happening here in America, probably this has been a pretty good idea that President Trump has said, hold on, you know, let's take a good look at how we have our relations with China. And the fact that he's used, you know, trade tariffs to get China to the table, and that in fact we have a potential phase one, you know, agreement with them on trade, that seems probably like a pretty good idea. What do you think, though, Dr. Chang?
Well, I think China has put tariff on U.S. for many, many years, so it's only right that the U.S. say something to defend itself. Otherwise, you know, it's a communist regime is going to rule the world. China has always had a long-term strategy that is to grow economy through using U.S. and to grow military through targeting U.S. Their goal is to overtake U.S. and become the number one in the world and rule the world, because they never think that the West or the free world will be in peace with them. They see the freedom as a threat. So they have to take the freedom as the enemy.
Okay.
They see freedom, free thoughts, free thinking. Anything free is a threat.
Okay. Now, one other question, Dr. Chang, and then we'll need to go to break here just shortly. But I remember seeing headlines that, in fact, some of the companies such as Google, primarily Google, I think, was actually acquiescing to the Chinese government regarding kind of free use of I don't know if I'd say the internet, but free use of those communications. Where is that at right now, Dr. Chang?
Over the years, technology companies have helped China to grow its censorship. You know, right now at this, like, I don't know the detail how Google is working with China right now, but at least the AI, artificial intelligence, when Google cooperate with China, that's supporting China's military force.
Wow.
Google cooperate with, say, Tsinghua University lab. That's a military-used lab.
Interesting. Okay, okay. Dr. Yeah. Chang, we're going to need to get you back on the show and stay tuned on what's happening over there in China. You are the senior editor of China News for the Epic Times. Dr. Dana Chang, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, before we go to break, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, is on the line. Jason, are you going to get out in this weather, or are you going to be able to work from your home office there?
Well, I'm going to have to come out of the igloo and see what it looks like outside.
Well, it's beautiful, but it's also a little dicey on those roads. But I know that you're doing these tax workshops. You had one last night. And for those who couldn't make it, there's good news. You're having them again tomorrow morning on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right, Kim. Actually, we did have pretty good attendance last night, even with the bad weather. But I hear tomorrow is supposed to be nice, so you could still save a spot for your favorite location, either Arvada, Parker, or Windsor. Those are tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Okay, and Jason, you have said that the focus of these workshops is on tax mitigation, or you're lowering your taxes in retirement. But actually, it's about income.
Well, I think it is about income, Kim. I mean, let me ask you a question. Does working and saving, you know, your whole life with the goal of having less money to spend in retirement than you have now seem like a good goal to work for towards
no,
for you?
Not at all.
So, but that's kind of, I think, what we've been programmed to think for so long. Well, you know, we'll need less in retirement than we will. Heck, I want more. Yeah, you know, if you really think about it. So I don't think it makes too much sense either. We want our retirement to be our golden years, not just kind of our final years. And if we can figure out how to keep more of our money in our pockets instead of sending them to Uncle Sam's pockets, that's worth taking some time to plan for.
Great. So you're going to show some very interesting numbers to the attendees tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah, Kim, believe it or not, if you plan right, you can have the same cash flow in your pocket when you're retired as you do now, or maybe even more, and you could pay less taxes at the same time.
Now, that is really good news at a tax workshop. Are you sure you're fully awake yet, Jason McBride?
Well, I'm mostly awake, Kim, and my brain's only half frozen from the cold. But, yeah, it's actually true. More money, less taxes, and more preservation of your investment assets as a bonus is not only possible, but it's likely in retirement if you plan right.
Well, you know, Jason, you and I always say that knowledge is power. And this seems like a good investment tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for an hour. You can pick your favorite spot, Arvada, Parker, Windsor. And you can go to my website, Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com, and you can sign up right there.
Well, that's right, Kim. Or you can give us a call at 303-694-1600. Just leave a message, and Natalie will call you back to confirm. You know, once her pack dogs mush her into the office anyway.
Excellent. Again, that number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or go to my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Jason McBride, thank you so much. We'll talk to you on Monday morning.
Fantastic. Have a good weekend, Kim.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we will be talking with Samantha Cook, who is running for the House here in Colorado, and also Doug Townsend, who's running for Senate. Great to have them in studio. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. So thrilled to have in studio with me two people that are stepping up to the plate and doing their civic duty, and that is they are running for public office. Samantha Cook, what on earth ever got into you that you thought you would do this?
You know, I am asked that question a lot, and it makes me feel like I'm walking a plank. But, you know, it's just a combination of factors. I'm a mom of three young children, and You know, there's a lot of things going on within the education system that I'd like to, you know, just be able to have a voice in. And I feel like our communities need to rebuild that communication between themselves and our government officials and make sure that we're taking into account our voices and our opinions and our input when there's legislation being passed that directly impacts us and our families.
So now you are running for House District 1. So what area does that encompass, Samantha Cook?
It encompasses, I believe, the border is along Federal. It might go a little bit further east. I was trying to look at the map over the last couple of days. Some of the street names aren't very clear, but Federal, it goes up north, and then takes in a little bit of Jeffco as far as being south, but it is Denver County primarily.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how can people get more information? Let's make sure we get your websites out here several times. So what is your website?
It is Samantha4ColoradoValues.com.
Four is spelled out?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Samantha4ColoradoValues.com. And what would you say, Samantha, are Colorado values?
I believe that Colorado values are centered around families, community, innovation, the opportunity to thrive. My husband and I love living here, and this is a great place to raise a family. And we feel a strong sense of community around us, and people are open and accepting. And those are the kind of things that we want to preserve and for future generations that want to also raise their families here.
Well, and you know, I really think that we have a duty to, and you see this is inherently American, to step up and pass something good on to the next generation. And so that is something that's really important, and thank you. So we'll come back to you here in just a minute. Doug Townsend, you're running for Senate District 31. And why on earth are you walking the plank and stepping up to run for public office?
Well, I think everybody has a right to make those important decisions that impact their lives. You know, where their kids go to school, how much of their hard-earned money they hand over to the state, how they want to protect themselves, how they want to worship. And I think when we look at what the state government has been doing the last few years, they're taking those rights away. They're really socializing the state without any regards to the rights and liberties of our people. And I think we need to regain control of the state Senate so that we can start to restore the government to work for the people instead of the other way around.
That sounds like a really good idea to me. So let's get your website out there. What is your website, Doug Townsend?
Doug Townsend for you, all spelled out.
Oh, Doug Townsend for you, all spelled out. And what would you say when we talk about, Samantha's mentioned Colorado values, what do you think those, you know, what does that mean to you exactly?
You know, Coloradans, we have that Western spirit. Or at least we used to have that Western spirit. I think it's going away in recent years as we've seen California try to take over the state of Colorado. But it's that independence. It's the ruggedness. It's the willing to sit there and do what needs to be done to be successful in life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't count on other folks. When the settlers came across and saw the Rocky Mountains for the first time, they didn't turn around and go back to Washington and say, hey, can you help me get over the mountains? They figured out how to get over the mountains.
Good point. And it wasn't easy.
And it was not easy.
And, you know, that rugged spirit that you just mentioned, I really do think that that's inherent in Coloradans. And I think that's why a lot of people are moving here. But it's really frustrating then when they bring the kind of the socialist voting record with them. And so, Doug Townsend, I really think that we, as we engage in this battle of ideas, hearts and minds, you know, communication on that is going to be really, really important. So what are you going to be doing to connect with the voters in your district and to persuade them to kind of put their thinking caps on and think about this?
Well, at a personal level, my goal is to knock on at least 10,000 doors between now and November.
Bless you.
That's going to be a lot of walking. It's my fitness routine for the next summer. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to get to talk to people. But I think how you then communicate that, you know, everybody disagrees with everybody else. There's no one in the world that we agree with 100% of the
Sometimes
time.
Sometimes I disagree with myself.
Exactly. I say that to myself frequently. And I think it's important for us to sit there and acknowledge that everybody's unique, but there are fundamental values that we do agree on. People want to be respected. People want to be able to pursue whatever it is their American dream is. They want to try to be happy. They're not always successful, but they want to pursue that. They want the freedom to do what they want to do. If we focus on those things that we agree on, those are the fundamental principles of America. It's what's in the Declaration of Independence. It's the basis of our Constitution. It's the basis of our conservative Republican philosophy. And I think once we focus on those and realize that that's our common bond between all of us, then we can build and we can have conversations as to how do we get from point A to point B. We can discuss those differences and disagreements in a calm, respectful manner instead of just yelling at each other or trying to shut each other down by shouting louder than whoever you're talking to. I think that's the key to being able to communicate that and win those hearts and minds of folks to make them realize that there is a different direction that they can go.
And when we talk about somebody has to do something, actually the somebody can be us instead of somebody down at the Capitol, because once you start to let them have a little bit, they've taken a whole bunch down there.
Well, the somebody always is us, and I think it's important to remember that the Capitol is nothing but 100 citizens of Colorado who have done what Samantha and I are attempting to do, to win the votes of the citizens to try to represent them, to do good for them. We disagree on policies. We disagree on how you approach these issues. But we're all just people. And, you know, I believe that I can make better decisions for myself than any other person. No offense to either of you. I think most people feel that same way. So why do we want to delegate that control over our lives to 100 people that most folks have never had an opportunity to meet or talk to or have a conversation with about these issues? I don't want some unknown person telling me where my child has to go to school, telling me how I have to get my health care, telling me what type of car I have to drive, and those types of things. I want to control my life, and I think most people want to control their own lives.
Agreed. I think that's true. So let's go over to you, Samantha. You know, Doug was talking about these issues. You know, we need to persuade, you know, hearts and minds. And, you know, what's your thoughts on that? How are you going to do that? He's going to walk 10,000, or knock on 10,000 doors. You're a mom, three little kids. So first of all, you know, that's a lot in its own right. But the fact that you're stepping up and doing this, I love that. And it's because you care about your kids, I know. So what are you going to do? Because your time is, not that your time's not limited, Doug Townsend, but your time's really limited, Samantha Cook. So how's this all going to work?
Well, I think a lot of the similar things that Doug pointed out, it's rebuilding that communication. We've kind of lost that personal aspect of communicating with our neighbors and really finding our common ground. And I think that we have a lot more in common than we realize. We've been caught up in all of these divisive issues and everything that's happening nationally that, you know, when you go out in your neighborhoods and you're talking to your friends, we're not talking about things that divide us. We're communicating and we're having a positive interaction. And I think we all want the same things. We want our freedom. We want our choices. We want to be respected. We want to have our values and be able to live our lives in the way that we see best. And as an elected official, it's my job to advocate for that and not take that away from people.
Now, I've gone down and testified at the Capitol on several different issues. I've gone down and testified at you know, different committee hearings and agencies. I really think that we need to get back to representative government versus a bunch of bureaucrats appointed by either the legislature or the governor. We need to shrink that. But I was actually struck, Samantha Cook, at one of the recent times I was down at the Capitol. I saw real disrespect by senators and House members to regular people that showed up about issues that they cared about. And the first thing we've got to have is respect. Even if you disagree with someone, there has to be some respect shown between the two of them.
Absolutely. I actually spent some time at the Capitol this week advocating for parental rights as far as communication between teachers and parents and notifying them about the curriculum that their children are being introduced to. And it seemed a little bit flippant at times and just slightly dismissive about the concerns that parents had and recognizing that we really just value that open communication. And it seemed like it was just an issue that shouldn't matter when it really does. And it did feel quite disrespectful.
Okay. Now, is that a piece of legislation? You know, we're trying to keep an eye on it, but with all the legislation that's being proposed, I'm actually not sure we need another law. If you two both get down there, how about peeling some of this stuff back? I kind of like that idea. But I'm not familiar with that piece of legislation. So has that been introduced? What is that one exactly? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was, it's a Senate bill. I can't remember the number, but the title of it was basically parental notification for the radical sex ed curriculum. And I agree. I don't think that we need more laws. So it's really interesting that we would need to introduce a bill to protect our parental rights. But unfortunately, that's kind of what it came down to. They insisted that our rights were already covered, but there were concerns from parents. Citing examples, their own personal experiences where they were not being covered. So
it is astonishing to me. We had I had Representative Tim Geithner on yesterday regarding, I think his bill is 1063 and is protecting fundamental family rights. And now my kids are grown, but I'll tell you what, if I was a mom of young kids, as I would start to find out, you know, I read, now I can't remember the bill number, but the sex education bill last year. And I'm like, hold the phone. You know, first of all, why don't we make sure that our kids are graduating with the tools that they need to be able to succeed in life? I'm that product of a really good liberal public education, kind of the classical liberal public education. You know, I graduated from high school and I can read, I can write. Most mornings, Steve, don't you say a word. I can put sentences together most mornings. And also with this belief that in America, if you work hard, anything is possible. And I actually only have a semester of college. And I ended up being one of the youngest VPs at Veteran Company, which was an old investment firm. And so I really believe that anything is possible. And I think that parents need to be in the loop on this. And so I really laud you for stepping up here, because I saw that same dismissiveness down there. And when I served on city council in Lone Tree, even if somebody disagreed with me, I felt it was important to listen to what they had to say and that we have a dialogue and to never be dismissive of someone on that. Doug Townsend, why don't you jump in quick on this before we go to break?
I absolutely agree with the attitude that we see. I think that there are too many elected officials who are there to represent special interests. That's their focus. It's not the citizens. It's not our constituents. I mean, there's a reason my website is Doug Townsend for You, and that's my campaign slogan. I'm doing this for the citizens of District 31. And I think that we have to get that mindset shifted. And really, the only way we're going to shift that, quite honestly, is to sit there and change the people who are sitting in those seats.
And the way we do that, Doug, is I think that we have to go out and make the case for limited government. I think people have kind of acquiesced. They've thought that as we send people down, whether or not it's on city council, county commissioner, or down to the state house, or even up, you know, to the federal government, I think that most people in the big middle think, well, those people have my best interests in mind. And you know what? As we have looked at this legislation coming forth over the last few years, particularly last year here in Colorado, and what Patty is pulling our bills for the day many times, I don't think that they have our best interest in mind. I think that they want to act like Big Brother. And it's time to go out and knock on doors and let people know what's going on and ask for their vote.
Absolutely. And you know, just to spend 30 seconds on the education front, we have to regain local control of education. Every time somebody in the state legislature says we need to have XYZ curriculum, whatever that is, that's one more hour a day that the teacher has to spend teaching XYZ. They don't get to teach the child how to read or how to do their math. Let's let the professionals in the classrooms, the teachers, they're the experts, let them teach. And let's get the General Assembly out of creating that curriculum for our kids. I've been president of a school board. I know what that's like when you have all of these rules and regulations pushed down on a school district. You spend more time addressing those than you spend teaching. Our focus should be on teaching the children. Let's get rid of all of this other nonsense that takes up bureaucratic time. It wastes money in the educational system. And Because you as a parent, if you don't like what's going on in the school district, it's much easier for you to run into your local school board member at the grocery store on Saturday morning or at the bank on Wednesday afternoon and have that conversation than to try to find somebody at the Department of Education or somebody in the state legislature to listen to you and to hear your voice on whatever that issue is.
And I think that's been by design. Actually, as they've moved up that control, up that ladder so that they don't have to see people, because it is difficult when you see people at the grocery store and they might disagree with you. You know, it certainly holds your feet to the fire, and I think that's really important. We're going to go to break here. Before we do that, Patty just texted me that Parental Bill of Rights is House Bill 20-1144. That's House Bill 20-1144. So this is Kim Munson. In studio with me are two candidates, Doug Townsend running for Senate District 31 here in Colorado, Samantha Cook, House District 1. Again, those websites are SamanthaForColoradoValues.com, SamanthaForColoradoValues.com, and DougTownsendForYou.com, DougTownsendForYou.com. We're going to go to break. We'll continue the conversation when we get back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out my website, kimmunson.com. We're going to jump right in here because we are running out of time, and I've got two people that are stepping up, walking the plank to run for public office. Doug Townsend, you are running for Senate District 31. We had highlighted this particular bill of the day, which was House Bill 20-1271, repealing the red flag law and amending the 72-hour hold. And I'd made the comment that if somebody is a real danger, it seems to me like you'd want to get them out of there because there's other things they could use if they really wanted to hurt themselves or other people instead of the weapon. So this was a very, almost not even a veiled grab on people's Second Amendment rights. And the Second Amendment is put there for a couple of reasons, so that people can protect themselves and their families, and also because they could protect themselves if government ever got really, really out of hand. And Samantha Cook, actually, being able to carry a firearm is the great equalizer between a 110-pound woman and a 250-pound man. And the idea that the Colorado State Legislature once has taken away that right, or could, I mean, it's pretty easy to do, because that 250-pound man could go to a judge and say that 110-pound woman is a danger to herself, and you need to take those weapons out of there. And that takes away the great equalizer. Your comment on that, Samantha Cook?
Well, and I think that that's, you know, a point that a lot of women are making, is just taking that piece away from it. So who are we really protecting? And are having those Second Amendment rights, being able to legally and safely carry, gives us the opportunity to protect ourselves in whatever situation we may find ourselves in. And a lot of women have concerns about that. And it's becoming far too easy to remove that piece of it and take it away from us.
And without due process, Doug Townsend, due process, you know, that's something that in the Constitution, the founders put it there for a reason. What's your thoughts on this red flag bill? Or law, I guess it's a law now.
Well, the law I'm strongly opposed to. I was very excited to see the proposal earlier this week. To your point, I think that one of the big issues of the red flag law is that public safety risk, especially for women. The sad fact is, when a woman goes missing, what do we see on the news? They start looking at the husband or the boyfriend. Fact of life, that happens. And I do think, to your point, Kim, that it's really easy for somebody to call up the law enforcement and say, hey, she's a danger to herself. I'm afraid she's going to do something to herself. Go take her guns away from her. When in reality, she has those guns to protect herself from the ex-boyfriend, the ex-husband, whoever it may be, that's threatening her. I've had several women who have come up to me in the last several months and said that they have their guns for that reason, and they are terrified that come January 1, that ex is going to sit there and make that call, and they're going to lose their ability to defend themselves. And that's not right. People have the right to defend themselves, however they choose to do that. If they want to do it with a gun, then they should have the right to do it with a gun. If they want to do it with a self-defense class, that's fine. The point is, empower people to sit there and defend themselves how they believe they should be able to defend themselves, not to remove that from them.
And, you know, we look at these issues on the show as freedom versus force. So what you're just talking about is the freedom to be able to choose how you would protect yourself and your family. And we've seen with the red flag law that by force, the government then can come in without due process and go through your house. And, you know, you may think it's okay to take weapons right now, but, you know, Samantha Cook, children are something that's pretty important to you. And in a way, we've seen kind of an overreach regarding curriculum, a variety of things. And really the issue that got you where you're going, wait a minute, I have to do something about that. Let's talk a little bit about that on freedom versus force.
Well, yeah, the initial issue that really got my attention was this comprehensive sexuality education. And, you know, it was pushed through pretty quickly. And that was, to me, it was pretty much like a government official walking into my home and telling me that they knew better how to raise my children than I do. And when it comes to, you know, math, reading, writing, you know, those are the things that we should be focusing on in school. And when it comes to an overreach in these other issues, when it's regarding their health and their well-being and their mental state and, you know, their belief system, that is an overreach, and parents should have, it should be the authorities particularly on those issues.
And the sexuality bill last year, that's not the only bill. I mean, we're seeing other things this year, which is absolutely astonishing. In fact, I think that Patty Kergan is working on an op-ed regarding, there's a bill out there that government consultants can come in prenatal up to 8 years old and help you as you're raising your children. It's like, wait a minute, I don't need any government consultants coming into my house. I'm just not very excited about that. I'm looking at the clock, and we are just about out of time. So I'd like to give you each, you know, a minute or so to, you know, with your final thoughts on that. So Doug Townsend, let's go to you first. You're a candidate for Senate District 31. What do you want our listeners to have as a takeaway from you?
I'm a CPA. I'm a chief financial officer. I'm a former school board president. I understand how the increasing taxes and regulations have a negative impact on our citizens, have a negative impact on our business community. I understand how the government overreach in the educational system is having a negative impact on that. We need to focus on the core functions of government. We need to focus on transportation. We need to let local control of the schools, have the teachers, the local school boards, the parents make the decisions as to what that curriculum should be. Get the state government out of those roles. And let's shrink down the size of the government. Then we can really sit there and see Colorado start to boom and allow, really empower everybody to pursue their personal American dream.
Well, and to that point, if we get government limited back here in Colorado again, that rugged individual spirit that built this state, which is really, I think, one of the reasons why the people are coming here, I think that we can get that back. And I don't think it's impossible. Do you?
Absolutely not. No, we have not crossed that tipping point yet.
Okay, well, thank you very much for stepping up. Samantha Cook, what is the final takeaway that you want people to hear today?
I think a lot of people are starting to feel like their voices are not being heard and that their concerns are not being taken into account when it comes to legislation. And our government is kind of going over our heads in what they find valuable, which versus what we find valuable. And I want to bring that voice back to the Capitol, bring, you know, the community voice, and make sure that we're being heard and that our values are being taken into consideration and that our freedoms are preserved. People are starting to get this idea that more laws equals better people, that we can regulate people into being good. And I believe that empowered people with the opportunity to thrive, to succeed, to be the directors of their own lives, that's how we have thriving communities and, you know, when our voices ultimately are heard.
Well, and you just said a very interesting point, and that is that using government so that we can be good. And then who defines good? Is it the Colorado State Legislature, or is it, if you go back to conserving the principles of the American idea, They actually believe that if each man, woman, you know, have these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that ultimately, that kind of brings out the best in us. So Doug Townsend, candidate for Senate District 31, that website is DougTownsendForYou.com. DougTownsendForYou.com. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Samantha Cook, House District 1, and that website is SamanthaForColoradoValues.com, SamanthaForColoradoValues.com. Thank you so much for being here, too.
Thank you for having me.
You both get a blue ribbon for being here on this very cold and snowy morning. And so our thought for today is Hank Stram. And you know what, Steve? This is very apropos for these two people here and then also for our team. He said, I always felt if you were going to be successful, make sure you get good people. You win with great players. Coaches don't win games. Players win games. And so, citizens, you win if you elect these good people to office.
You don't have to laugh because we're talking about the growth of government, unchecked, yada, yada. And Stram, as you mentioned earlier in the show, he did what he did without a team of
offensive, defensive coordinators. So, for sure, limited government and great people. And so, Samantha Cook, Doug Townsend, thank you for being here. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. To this great unknown.